Well, good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Yes, I've got a cold, and that's why I sound like I have a cold. Nothing worse than that, though. Joining me right now in our feature, Social Science Apologetics, is Dr. Gregory Popcheck. Greg is Executive Director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute and author of more than a dozen books. He and his wife, Lisa, co-host More to Life on Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Greg holds an adjunct faculty position in the Sociology and Graduate Theology programs at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And again, follow him in his work at CatholicCounselors.com. Greg, good to have you with me.
Well, great to be here, Al. Thank you.
You brought this point up, and let me just summarize it for listeners. We can do 100 things right, but we'll obsess over the one thing that went wrong. And yes, I know this personally. I've noticed it drives my wife crazy. And then we take for granted, or as a matter of course, all the things that go right. The nice ways we're treated, the patience people show with us. And we focus on the one criticism or slight that's done to us. Why is this so common?
Well, interestingly enough, we're learning more and more that the brain is actually wired to give more weight to negative information, which sounds horrible. We'll explain what to do about that in a second. But
sounds
but
like here, sounds like the news media. It doesn't get reported unless it's bad news.
That's right. Well, what happens in the brain is that, you know, negative situations require more energy to solve.
Hmm.
So it takes more parts of our brain to engage to get through a negative situation. So more parts of our brain pay attention to negative stimuli than positive stimuli, which just tends to kind of be experienced in the pleasure centers of the brain, and then we move on.
Hmm.
So the interesting thing about that, though, is that there's one condition under which the brain doesn't emphasize negative information over positive information. And that's when we feel connected to other people. The more connected we feel to others, the less our brains have a tendency to overemphasize the negative.
So the more fellowship we have, the more commonality we have, the more we're bearing one another's burdens.
Right. And the more we feel that connection. Because you know, you can
yes,
be, you can, yeah, because you can be around 100 other people and not feel connected to
yes,
them.
Yes, that's or, right.
But if you, the more you actually feel that connection, that they have your back and you have theirs, the less likely it is that the brain will emphasize that negative information. And if you think about it from even just a purely, you know, survival perspective, if I'm on my own, if I'm alone, I need to be on guard. I need to look out for all the threats that could happen to me and take me down and be prepared to deal with them.
Because the mere individual is not the way we were created.
That's right. We were created for community. And so when we are outside of that community or that sense of community, that we're going to have that sense of hypervigilance as a way of surviving, right?
Yeah.
But the more connected I feel, the more I'm able to participate in the community of love, as Pope St. John Paul II put it, you know, and actually feel connected to others, the less my brain will emphasize those negative experiences, which again validates that idea in the church that we were created for others and we were created for communion with others, not intended to be these kind of rugged individualists off on our own doing things by
yeah.
ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not Marlboro men by nature. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You made a good point, though, and that is it's important that there be a felt connection, that you actually feel yourself to be part of this community or this family. It's not just you're part of a crowd.
Right. Right. And whether that's, you know, because I talked to a lot of people in marriage counseling, for instance, who feel very alone in their marriage, or parents who feel alone in their family. You know, we can be around other people even 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not feel connected to them. And so, you know, if we're feeling that tendency to go negative, the first thing that we need to ask ourselves is, you know, how connected am I to the people that are around me? And what could I do to improve that connection? I can tell you the difference that it's making in my clients to be able to share that with them. As you know, to be able to say, you know, that sign of going negative is really a sign of disconnection from the people around you. And what could you do to reach out to them or open your heart to receive them more in some small way? It makes a huge difference in our outlook as well as in the benefit to the relationship.
You know, it's fascinating because I'm trying to think in terms of my own experience here. On the one hand, if when you're feeling connected like this, you accept it. You don't ask for evidence of it because you're already feeling it. But if you're thinking negatively about yourself and somebody wants to persuade you otherwise, you expect evidence from them. You want them to present the reason why what you did was not so bad.
Right. Right. And so that tendency to you know, to need proof either of that connection or for them to prove to you, you know, that what you did was really wrong or whatever, it's going to increase the more you feel out of sorts with this person.
Yeah.
And the thing to keep in mind about that, you know, we beat on this a lot on the show. I just beat this drum constantly about the need for rituals of connection in marriages and family life, even in friendships. You know, the more connected you feel to other people tends to be directly related to how many things you do across four domains: working together, playing together, praying together, and talking together. You know, if you've got regular...
Let me go with those again. Those are good. Yeah. Working...
Work, play, talk, and pray.
Okay. Working, play, talk, and pray.
And if you have rituals that allow you to connect to another person around those four domains, the stronger those rituals are, and when I say rituals, I mean they're regularly expected times where we're in, you know, where we're expected to show up for these events to do these things together. The more clearly defined those rituals are, the more regular those rituals are, the stronger emotional connection we actually feel to the people who participate in those rituals.
Well,
and therefore then, you know, the tendency to kind of go negative because of that strength of connection.
You know, one of the things that I've seen friends and acquaintances of long standing who after 25 years of marriage, 30 years of marriage, end up divorcing. I don't see an epidemic of that, but I'm saying it always shocks me that kind of thing could have happened. This actually helps me understand it, because if they have been growing apart and they're not spending time talking or playing together or praying together, then it makes them more vulnerable to seeing themselves as a mere individual, and their spouse is no longer a credible source of support.
That's right. And you know, those folks who've been married for 20 or 25 years, that's usually when the kids start leaving the nest. And so whatever rituals they did have as a family will go away. And if there aren't rituals of connection as a couple, then very often that sort of severs the last connection between the two people. So it's really critical to kind of ask yourself, you know, how are we connecting across those four domains of working together, talking together, praying together, and playing together? And what are those ways that we're carving out time in our week to build that sort of connection, both to maintain the relationship and each individual's sense of mental health?
So, and again, don't just say you're going to do it better. Take inventory of what you're doing now so that you know where you have to make changes. Because, I mean, I think everybody would say, hey, that makes a good deal of sense. Let's do more of that.
Yeah,
it's probably valuable to take an inventory. Are you working, playing, talking, praying together? When does that occur? How often does it occur?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and there's nothing wrong with saying, and can we do more with that?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because you know, just because you are, you know, checking off those items from the list doesn't mean that you're getting as much out of them as you could, or doing as much with them as you might want to. You know, again, as the backup check, you know, sort of ask yourself, you know, do you tend, even though you're doing those things, do you have a tendency to go to the negative or overemphasize those slights in the relationship? If so, then it's time to beef up those rituals of connection a little bit more.
Well, Greg, how do people stay in touch with you? How can they get more information on this?
Go to CatholicCounselors.com.
CatholicCounselors.com. Greg, thank you so much.
Thank you, Al. God bless.
Dr. Gregory Popcheck, it's fascinating, isn't it? So often what we're learning in the fields of psychology and sociology and social psychology are that basic teaching of the church is right on in terms of human relationships. Of course, we assume that. It's always good to see the evidence for it. I'm Al Creston.